Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two largely inept but prone to love co-hosts, Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise, from beginning to end. This is episode 42, and we'll be talking about episode 42 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Space Fortress Aobawakwa, in which we witness the true scale of this war. Moe agare, and take it away. I do not like it in a box. I do not like it with a fox. I do not like it at the bottom of the ocean, Sam. I am. I don't have anything to rhyme with that. Hello, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom!
Hi!
A podcast where you bail out of bad jokes with your friends.
Not by yourself. Bailing out of bad jokes by yourself would be an entirely different story.
Yeah, if you're telling... Yeah, that's just writing stand-up, I think, at that stage.
Oh, yeah.
You're writing stand-up and like, that one's not gonna go over so well. I think that's just called editing.
Yeah.
I just had a friend text me about masks being cool, and it's like, yeah.
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 Yeah, masks is pretty cool.
Weather update. Yeah. Still cool. This is a Gundam podcast, nominally.
Yeah, generally. Half the time, at least.
Enough of the time that we still get to call ourselves one, but maybe not enough of the time that's maybe top billing, ironically, despite the name being Mobile Suit Fandom.
Yeah.
Also, as a brief aside, why aren't you playing the Zone of End? Fuck you, first of all. Why aren't you playing Zone of the Enders?
Because I don't know if I have any of the game. Are they on PC?
You can get the HD collection on PS4.
On PS4?
Yeah.
If that's the case, I might. I'm not sure.
If your goal here is grungy anime sci-fi, Zone 2, Mars, but the A is upside down.
Mavarvs.
Yeah. Which is not a sick turn A Gundam reference, it's just Kojima being himself.
Oh god, is that a Kojima game?
Zone of the Enders is a Kojima series.
Oh shit.
So the first one is way more normal anime mecha shit, but then the second one is like actually really cool and has a versus mode.
So my thing is I don't necessarily need mecha. Mecha right. Aren't really. I guess it wouldn't hurt to have.
Yeah, yeah, you were just going for grungy sci-fi, right?
Yeah, the idea is, like, the band of outlaws on the edges of society, nominally not criminals, but also right. Not really stand-up citizens either.
The underdogs of society, yeah.
Right, but also in space, and yes. Also space has been around long enough that, like...
It's normal. It's
there
cool.
Is a Toyota-type starfighter, you know? Right, just, like, right. Someone has a beat-up fucking Celica spaceship, you know?
All right. Well, now that you have 200 of your new best friends who have heard this at least, and that's just on the release week on average, I guess send Rex your way.
Right.
Because now we have a pool of people who've heard this.
Well, for the record, I finished Cowboy Bebop again for the third time. I think I just like Cowboy Bebop.
I think you just like Cowboy Bebop at this stage.
I watched Outlaw Star again, I watched Redline, and up next is the Zone of Enders anime, I think. Or Dirty Pair. Or Tokyo...
You wanna give that one more go?
I don't remember the year. It's Tokyo something. Someone recommended a Tokyo show. I don't know.
Tokyo 2099.
Something.
Whatever.
Tokyo 2147.
Something. So, yeah. Now, I do highly recommend Zone of the Enders, too. Wooly Versus started playing it online, and so I've been on a kick on that again, where I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's good. It's some good anime shit. But we're not talking about those mechs.
No, we're talking about these mechs.
We're talking about these mechs, because we even get some new mechs this time.
Hi, I'm your co-host, Chris.
Oh, yeah. What a weird parenthetical end to that entire opening tangent. I'm Fuzzy, but you knew that already. And son of a bitch, this is episode 42!
Holy shit! One more.
One more after this. After this, and then the movies we do have to watch.
Right.
But
those are all gonna be one episode of this.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Jesus. So,
for the record, when you're hearing this, you have exactly 1 month to come up with 25 more iTunes reviews. There are so many of you assholes.
But as always, you know, as always, if you can't give us the iTunes review for whatever reason, that's okay. Leave us a review where you can.
Oh yeah, I still love you. Yes, I'm just being bombastic.
Well, that too, yes. you know, we have to tell them we do love you and care about you and appreciate you but also more. Fuck you and the stupid dumb shit horse you rode in on.
Now the horse might be, it's not, the horse didn't choose, it's got hooves, it can't leave iTunes reviews. Why are we disparaging this
if
horse?
If a horse can pilot a mech, a horse can leave an iTunes review.
Okay,
that is my
that's
thesis
flawless.
And
that's flawless
Gundam, and,
logic.
Yeah. Well, Gundam has that, so...
Yep.
I really am gonna dwell on that horse getting put in that full-body condom over and over again, because it's abjectly fucking terrifying to see every time. But also, last time we left on a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
So, like, straight up, this time, OP, bam, picking up where we left off, because it's the last three episodes, that's how it works.
Yeah.
As a reminder, what we left off from last time was a giant fucking laser getting shot, and Amuro having a Jedi moment of, wow, I can hear the screams.
Wow, everyone died suddenly in the future.
Yeah, wow, it's like 1,000 voices screamed out at once, and we're suddenly silenced. He doesn't so much as say that, but keep in mind that this was like, wasn't this the year after? When did Star Wars come out?
This is 79, right? Yeah. So it's at least a year. I think it's a year. I'm not sure. I'm a fake geek boy. We've established
1977.
This. So it's been two years later.
That's enough time that they were also writing it when Star Wars came out. So
yep.
All right, Tomino.
We're on to you, motherfucker.
You're not slick. In reality, like, if you got a psychic, of course you're going to use the psychic to be like, wow, all those people are dying and I can feel it. Trauma time. Hey, guess what? Trauma time. AKA Drama Time is a t-shirt that every Gundam protagonist gets when they get the job. So, you find it behind the Gundam seat. Like, you just lean the seat forward a bit, like you're about to let someone into the back row of seats in your two-seater. And there's just a t-shirt back there, and it says, Drama Time.
Come on, grab your friend.
I'm imagining, like, the rainbow bubble font in, like, an arc. So it's like, Trauma Time!
Very happy.
Very, very happy-go-lucky because, you know, all of these are children getting in these giant robots to have PTSD the rest of their lives. Just as a reminder.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder to everyone that Amuro is 16.
Yeah.
And Char is 20. Char is younger than me right now.
Yeah.
Like,
and you're a child, so...
I am a 23-year-old grown-ass man at this age. I have paid taxes. We are past that.
Very good.
So, this big fucking laser, the solar system, which I remind you, Giren Zabi just fired, it does what you think it does. First, we get, you know, a little bit of setup and foreplay of here's the fleet, or here's them talking, Degwin's about to get off of his ship, which we learn in a second is called the Great Degwin.
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't referring to him, that's the ship. He called his flagship the Great Degwin.
It is also, it's referring to him in that he named it himself. After himself.
Yeah.
The Great Degwin.
Yeah. The Great Dongwin.
Great Dongwin.
So we get a shot of Degwin, of General Reville, and then the laser hits, and we see both of them begin getting disintegrated. I'm not gonna lie, the following sequence is pretty graphic. It's not the most graphic we're about to get. That's for next episode. But, we see dudes melting. Like, we don't see the, physical melting. It's anime melting. You've seen Dragon Ball Z. And if you haven't, go watch Dragon Ball Z. You don't need to watch Dragon Ball. It's fine. I do kind of miss Dragon Ball. I like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, honestly, I've really been thinking about going and watching just Dragon Ball.
Same, but I remember watching it even as a kid, and it was a little childish for me, right? Because
yeah, but now I'm an adult and I watch children's shows a lot. That
is true.
Yeah.
You know, I do feel weird, because amongst our friends, I haven't been watching a lot of the, aimed at kids shows. At least not any of the ones in English.
You're still young enough to be edgy.
Is it 23?
Yeah, you can make a lot of fucking mistakes in 23, and it'll be fine.
That is true, There, I've been actually having this very, big... reminding myself philosophy lately of I'm in my 20s, it's okay if I fuck up a bit.
I'm in my 30s, it's not okay for me anymore.
Nope, too late. Every fuck up you make will last the rest of your life. It's on your permanent record. They pass it around too. Every person who has more power than you has access to your permanent
record.
Everyone
has more power than me.
Oh, well, let's see. Chris.
Oh shit.
Permanent record.
No, stop. Don't.
Wow, it says here you got a D in junior high English. Can you explain yourself?
Well, first of all, that teacher was a dick. And second of all, fuck you, you're not the cops.
Accurate, that's the right response anytime someone confronts you with your permanent record. Slap it out of their hand and call them a narc. So, we watch a bunch of people fucking die. The worst one being, we see, three dudes try to jump out of a ship, and, still they get eviscerated by the giant laser.
Yeah, I don't know, that's definitely, an act of desperation, because I don't know what they thought was gonna happen.
Oh, no, 100%. But this is very much, the horrors of war!
Yeah, this is the atomic bomb going off. This is...
Yeah.
Bad news.
Yeah, which also, just for the sake of noting here, this episode in general, I think, does a very good job of, here at the end, really letting us know that this is, since we're watching D-Day, right?
Yeah.
Imagine all of this was just more spread out. The same amount of stuff is happening, it's just now all of it's right next to each other, and the camera is on it. So we finally see it as this big war that we've mostly been hearing about.
Yeah, because we've just been following around one group of people.
Right, the biggest taste we got was Odessa Day, which... you could almost argue Odessa Day was our D-Day, and this is our assault on Berlin, which honestly wouldn't be inaccurate of a likeness.
Since a lot more fucking people die here.
Yeah, a lot of death and destruction. This is also where this is actually where almost every Gundam ace, or mobile suit ace, gets the majority of their kills from the 1 Year War. This fight. This one right here.
A lot of shit's about to happen.
Amuro in particular, I believe the last, whole quarter of his kill count comes from this fight. That's how many dudes he murders in this one.
A lot of dudes.
Because,
a lot of dudes, Brant.
Holy shit when he comes out, but we need to get there first. So we cut to White Base. First, everyone just watches this big fucking laser go by, and to them, this was just like a solid line of color that suddenly wiped something out in front of them. Like, this was... We have the advantage of animation. We got to see inside. They just had a bright yellow light. You gotta remember, right?
And then nothing.
And then fucking nothing. Like, all that's left of the Great Degwin is a chunk of bridge. That's it. That was a whole-ass capital ship 20 seconds ago. There was an entire monster dong on there. And now...
technically all of reality is non-existent anymore.
Yeah, and it's all Giran Zabi's fault. Please remember that. All of reality being broken is Giran Zabi's fault.
Keep an eye on Giran. Don't blink, you'll miss him.
Hey. If you're not paying attention, you'll miss it. Oh, yeah. You won't miss it. You get to watch it careen off the sidewall. So
I can't wait to get there. It's such a good bit.
It is, actually. And I actually have some, like, actual thoughts on the moment, too. So,
okay.
Whiteface bears witness to this, and Amuro has his Star Wars moment of, it's like I could hear all of them screaming, and then nothing. Yeah. I paraphrase, but he really does have almost exactly the line.
This is Alderaan.
Yeah. Title card, Space Fortress Albawakwa.
Yep.
We cut over to Kaecilia, who is on her ship currently, and her men seem a little confused. They all realize that the solar ray was definitely fired, but the guy in front goes, "Did you catch that?" And the guy next to him is like, "Yeah? Did you?" And he calls over to another guy, and everyone's like, "Yeah, we all heard it."
Because it was so fast. It was like a second, right?
Well, what I realized after a second is they weren't discussing the solar beam, or solar ray.
They were discussing the ship.
They would, the guy who first caught it stands up and goes, "Lady Kaecilia, we're all pretty sure we heard the Great Degwin's signal from inside of that giant laser beam. Like, we're pretty sure that that's where the Great Degwin was." And Kaecilia is like, "And you're sure?" And all of them are like, "We all heard it. We're 99% sure that your father's ship was there in the line of fire."
Yep.
Kaecilia
was being the operative word.
Yeah. Was very being the operative word. So Kaecilia pulls up the mask, which is also the first time we see that, like, happen.
Yeah, and it also made me realize that, like, the very, very cynical part of me is like, they did that so they don't have to animate her fucking mouth.
Well, there is that, but stylistically for the character, too, it's very intriguing to me that she receives this news and to think she pulls up the mask, which tells me... I'm very interested to play poker with Kaecilia Zabi, because apparently her tell is her mouth entirely, and she just doesn't emote with her eyebrows and eyes, which fascinates me.
Yeah, she's just dead inside.
Well, that's also something that, like, we constantly get, and we get in this episode a lot, of Kaecilia has a great steel eye. Like, she will evil eye you to death. But apparently, her weakness is she emotes with her mouth. And I just find that, like, an interesting character thing to actually see here in action while we're at it.
Yeah. And it's also just her putting up her shields, like, emotionally.
Yep.
Because turns out she may have actually liked her dad.
Yeah! That's very interesting to me that she gets quite upset about this.
Because she seems to have given zero fucks about any of her brothers.
Well... I don't know about that. So, when Garma died...
Yeah, that was a million years ago. I can't be expected to remember that.
Right. Which is why I'm reminding everyone. So, when Garma died, Dozel was the most upset, but Kaecilia made her consternation known. Giran was the one who was just like, fuck it, and, of course, Degwin was heartbroken.
Yeah, Garma was Degwin's favorite.
Yes. There is also, of course, a fan theory, by the way, that Garma's death affects Degwin so much that he begins making poorer and poorer choices, which is what allows Giran to seize power.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Giran and Caecilia, I should say.
Yeah.
Then when Dozel dies, Caecilia laments that her brother was an idiot, not that he deserved to die, whereas Giran was like, fuck him. Consistently, Giran's a big asshole, is what I'm saying.
Giran's the worst.
And then Degwin perishes here, and we see this. We'll keep exploring this familial relationship as the episode goes on. It's not good!
No.
So, Whitebase, meanwhile, suddenly is getting all the phone calls.
Yep.
It's...
They're the ship now.
They're the ship now. At first, it seems like they're about to be the flagship, but as the conversation goes on, a couple of things become clear. Whitebase is located a little bit off of the front line, so Whitebase actually was a very... They were heading from Solomon to Albawa Quo, remember?
Right.
So they provide actually a pretty good point for the remaining Fedi forces to meet up and then go. That starts happening. Bright is fielding calls. Fraw is trying her best as well. Bright raises the battle stations. Amuro apparently decodes the enemy signals and is like, yep, they fired a solar system too. It's just like ours, except they only had one shot. Yeah. Fraw is keeping her station going. Doing a damn fine job, I should note. We cut over to Giran, who is doing his best Hitler impression.
Yeah, he's giving a speech, isn't he?
He's giving one of his patent-pending speeches! Patent-pending, because he never gets that patent. But also, it's a Hitler speech. Like, even sneaks a superior race in there.
Yeah.
Like, Zeon is the superior race. He doesn't even Zeon's say Spacenoids.
Whatever. Yeah.
For the record, like, in the future, when we get the space racists again, it's all based on Spacenoid versus Earthnoid. That's the big one. And Spacenoid suddenly becomes its own race, despite the fact that it's literally geography. Fucking space racists. Just like real racists. Idiots.
They're the worst. Yeah.
Pants on head idiots. On top of that, we get... So, Giran's big plan is today's the day we end the war.
Yep.
Here at Albawa Quo. He starts Sig-Zeoning, everyone else Sig-Zeons, it's a whole hullabaloo.
Yep. Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, you've seen a documentary. You watched the History Channel between 2005 and 2010. A very specific call-out, but Call of Duty was popular, so was World War II. I swear, I think that was actually it. Like, Call of Duty got super popular, and Medal of Honor, and everyone dug it so much, that's why World War II was just the hot business for a bit in popular culture.
Yeah, well, I think World War II is also one of the more fascinating wars.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason we're watching a whole ass anime that recreates pretty much all of the events of World War II, but with giant robots this time.
Right. So I think it'll come back again too. We'll have another period of like everybody being like, "Oh, what about World War II, though?"
I mean, yeah, I do have to wonder. None of the other wars get that type of play, though, man.
It's a combination of being how recent it was, comparatively, and also how complex and how many people were involved and, like, how many different cogs were turning. And, like, it affected an entire generation of most of the world.
And this is actually something I recently learned. The generation splits are not as even as I thought they were. The baby boomer generation is a 40-year span.
Yeah.
Whereas the next generation, which I believe was X? No, X was 2. I forget what that middle one is. That one was like 25 years, and then X was 20, and then Millennials was only 10, I think? Like, Millennials
No, Millennials is a lot, because I'm a Millennial.
Point is, I recently saw a timeline of this one, and was like, huh, That boomer chunk is fucking huge, and it's because literally the defining factor was everyone here didn't fight in World War II, but dealt with the consequences their whole life.
Yeah.
Good and bad. And that's apparently the defining feature. That was just a neat thing. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. So, we cut back to White Base again. White Base...
They're planning an operation.
Yeah, they're thick in that paint. Upon, like, rewatching and thinking about it more, it's clear that Bright's mostly fielding this stuff and is... He's actually being pretty... Him and Fraw together, because Fraw is also fielding a lot of this fucking information herself.
Yeah.
Are actually being a pretty good team, keeping this ship running and getting the Fetty spung up. Spun up. It's going pretty good. Bright tells everyone what the plan is. I won't go into details, but basically White Base is going to flank with another chunk of the fleet. Mirai can tell that based on the battle plan, the Fetties are freeballing it. Like, she's like, I'm not so sure about this, my dudes. But Amuro, our resident known psychic, goes...
He's like, it's fine. Everything's cool, dudes.
We'll be cash as shit, boys.
Finger guns.
And this seems to settle a lot of people, actually.
Yeah.
Fraw counts us down. We hit T-0. In 10 minutes, the fight begins. I recently learned about operational clocks. Also neat stuff. Look them up sometime. I won't go into that explanation. Operational clocks are neat. That's all I have to say on that. So, in T-10, we'll be fighting. Amuro goes over to Fraw's station and is like, we'll be cash money. You're doing great. Keep on doing you. They fist bump, not actually, Amuro gives, Fraw's spacesuit, like, a little tap on the side, like, of the helmet. Yeah. They go their separate ways. Hayato passes by Amuro.
Mm-hmm. It's looking, hold on, Hayato struts past Amuro.
Hayato, does...
little fuck.
Yeah, an unnecessary amount of big dicking. I theorize the spirit of the monster doll. It has left Degwin Zabi, and it traveled through space.
This is what happens when the monster dog enters you?
Yes, it traveled through space, and it was like, what is a little man with untold power? There he is. And it entered him.
I love this. Yep.
And I now present to you Monster Dong Hayato. Why does he have a monster dong? We're going to see in 5 minutes. Showtime, real time, 30. So podcast time is multiplicative. Yeah. There we go. So the Amuro gets in the elevator and they close the door. It closes the door, watching Hayato go up to Fraw, and they start visibly talking. The kids also enter the elevator,
float by.
Yeah. And Kai's like, "Where's Hayato?" The kids go, "Stuck on Fraw." To which Kai is like, "Nice. Go get him, Tiger." Kai then laughs, and Sayla is like, "Never do that again. That was terrible. That's how you laugh? What the fuck?"
Apparently, like in the English one, he was like, and then Sayla was like, "This is lewd," or rude, or something, and Amuro calls her a prude.
That's, in the Japanese, Sayla is like, "Your laugh is that laugh is terrible," and Amuro is like, "It fucking is, oh my god." And then they move on!
Change the fucking...
So... I really love that Japanese Amuro and Sayla are best friends and wingmates.
Giving Kai shit for his laugh.
We'll just roast Kai. I love that. Fuck. I love that shit. That's really good.
It's much better than them, like, just not being on board the Fraw Hayato train.
Yeah, I'm very into the fan fiction zone that can definitely exist of just all the shit Amuro and Sayla talk about as wingmates, because you become wingmates, it's like cop, it's buddy cop, right? Like,
yeah,
that's what happens, at least in fiction. So there's a ripe zone.
I'm pretty sure that's reality too. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We just don't get enough of it on screen. And what I'm asking for is, I'm lazy. Send me some. So, P.O. box. No. Print it out. Bind it by hand. In vellum. So, Kai laughs. They stop at the next floor down. The kids go off to the safe room. Kai then asks his real question, so you actually that confident? And Amuro immediately, I lied. I straight lied. I can't
predict. I have no idea what the fuck is happening. I'm not that kind of psychic.
If new types could predict the future, humans wouldn't be suffering. We'd be able to stop that ahead of time. And Kai at first looks down and, like, laments a bit, but then kind of looks upwards and just says kind of something about how futile it is for us to even be talking about shit like that. And I'm like, I like when Kai waxes.
Kai is great sometimes. Kai is just like, I just love how he's just like, well, fuck it, alright, I guess.
Kai is a great comic relief character, in my opinion, because the sarcastic but aware asshole is just a good fucking trope.
I also get the impression Kai is like a little surprised he's not already dead. So like, all of this is like, yeah, this makes sense.
I am living on borrowed time. The only reason I'm alive is because my ostensible best friend is fucking psychic.
Yep.
And also, Amuro is ostensibly my best friend. Think how fucked up that is.
Yeah, well, because who else would be? No one else gives a shit about Kai.
Well, you would almost think, like, maybe Hayato, but we have...
They don't get along.
They only talked when Ryu was alive.
Yeah, Ryu was their mutual friend.
Yeah.
That kept them in contact with each other.
Yeah, basically. Despite the fact that, like, I'm pretty sure Kai and Hayato knew each other before the war
Yeah, because they were both soldiers.
No, they weren't.
No, they weren't. I keep getting this wrong.
Ryu was a soldier. Kai was a civilian. Hayato went to school with
Amuro, right?
With Amuro and Fra. Kai didn't, I don't believe, went to school with them, but he...
Kai hung around. He'd graduated already, just kind of hung around.
They seemed to know who he was. Yeah. Anyway. After Kai chuckles at the futility of man, we cut to war! What is it good for? Technicolor light shows, mostly. Or at least this one is. We get volleys of lasers back and forth as the first line begins. What look like Medeas, but I don't think they actually are, I think they're the ones smaller, are carrying these big fucking torpedoes that they launch. There's these red fighter planes the Zeon guys have that I didn't look up the name of despite having 30 minutes to do so. It's the second to last episode. I'm gonna remember the Zong, and that's all you're getting out of me.
We'll talk about the Zong. We'll talk about the Zong.
We'll talk about the 80% complete Zong.
It ain't got legs.
It ain't got legs. So, you know what's actually worse, though? When it has legs. So...
Oh, no!
So the Medeas start launching these missiles. They get taken out by laser defenses, though. The missiles have the anti-beam chaff in them, though.
Yeah.
Giren responds with a hail of torpedoes of his own. Starts shifting some people around. Kaecilia gets close to Albao Kua. Giren notices and is like, huh, she has less ships than she left with. A small vessel exits Kaecilia's ship and enters Albao Kua. It contains Kaecilia and Char.
Yep.
Kaecilia's like, alright, bitch tits, we need to get you in a suit. And Char's like, I don't have one. The Gelgoog got fucked. The They don't have any extra Gelgoogs because all these kids are piloting them.
There's my no Char custom is back in my garage on Earth getting buffed.
Yeah, there ain't shit for me here, Kaecilia. And Kaecilia's like,
I'm not gonna drive a fucking normal mobile suit.
Do I look like
you're not gonna? Are you gonna fucking put me in a Zaku too? You gonna put me in a goddamn Dom? Go fuck yourself.
You're just gonna paint it red? That's not the same, Kaecilia. You can't just do that. What you think you can just throw a mask on over everything and suddenly that's your look? No, you would be offended if I suggested that, Kaecilia.
And then she stabs him.
And then she stabs him.
He How lives. Dare you take my name in vain?
That was good. In character, too. So, Char laments on this line for a hot second, and Kaecilia is like, I have 80% of a mobile suit you can drive. And he's all right, like,
so you can have 100% of a normal suit or 80% of a special suit. And Char's like, special suit! Special suit!
Well, he then proceeds to go, wait, which 80%? And she goes, the good parts. What's even funnier is when it gets down to actually seeing it, but we'll get to that in a second. They both exit their little ship, Char going off one way and Kaecilia going off towards the bridge, because she has some words. Meanwhile, war rages, and the Fetties get close enough to actually launch their mobile suits. Gunmans and balls launch in fucking hordes as Magellans get fucking destroyed as they're being taken out the whole time. A lot of war is happening this episode, so you'll excuse me if sometimes it's just sentence fragments.
Yep.
Kaecilia gets to the bridge, and Garen gives her some shit because the Gundam managed to destroy the Elmeth, and he thinks new types are some dumb bullshit. For the record, I do want you, Chris, to remember this for years down the line when we get to Gundam The Origin. Priming you, because this argument that Garen brings up that new types are a silly thing to believe in...
Yeah.
This gets colored by later Gundam releases a lot, specifically the Origin. The anime part of the Origin, not the manga. Because the anime Origin is actually a proper prequel.
Hopefully by the time we get to that point, we will have had a weird obsessive fan who has documented everything you've told me to remember that I've immediately forgotten.
And if you are that weird obsessive fan, send us your Excel sheet right now.
Please do. Because this show has been you telling me, remember this in a few episodes, and then a few episodes later it happens, and I'll go back, listen to recordings, and like, oh shit, I was supposed to remember that.
So yeah, this is one of the this is probably the longest one.
This is a very slow play.
This is the one you will have to put in that back pocket, and then you're gonna wash your pants like 10 times, and by sheer luck, it'll be like, oh hey, a washed out $2 bill.
Nice.
That'll be this fact. So, Garen also says. Confirms that Degwin is dead to Kaecilia. All but says it, right?
Yeah.
But it was like, yeah, he was definitely on that ship when it was when it died. I didn't get any permission to send his ship out with my own men on it. So, and he didn't give anyone the keys, so make your own assumptions, Kaecilia. Kaecilia proceeds to mean mug him from behind the chair.
You would think this show just shows Garen's hubris, because he should know Kaecilia, he should know her pretty well, and he should know this is like he should be watching her at this point.
Hubris is 100% the right word. Like, there's just no getting around it. At the end of all of them are guilty of a sin, right?
Yeah.
Garen's is 100% hubris. Personal, real...
fascism / racism.
Yeah, generally speaking, fascism and racism are not something you go to hell for, because that was kind of baked into hell anyway. Or at least the Alighierian one. Alighierian one? However the fuck you pronounce that. Dante's version. And I don't mean from the Devil May Cry series. Why hasn't there been a Gundam character action game? Like, proper air comboing character action game.
All right, you hear us. Who do we want to make that?
I'm gonna call out FromSoft. Hey, FromSoft.
Really? FromSoft.
Have you not played Armored Core?
When you say From, I only think of Dark Souls. Which, nah. Yeah, no, and I have not played Armored Core, but never mind. It makes sense now.
My fuzzy recommendation: Armored Core 4 Answer. Specifically, 4 Answer is, in my opinion, the best Armored Core currently available.
Dope.
Yeah, it's weird. The whole series, each entry, like, the mechs feel a little bit different, but, like, on purpose. They're narratively meant to, like, slot in a different way to how war is. In 4 and 4 Answer, the mechs are titanic god machines that lay waste to entire battlefields, and the only thing that can take on a mech is another mech. Like, right. 100%, if you are not a mech, you will get your shit kicked in. And to combat mechs in general, they will build city-sized mechs. Like, it is peak anime bullshit. It's really good. And then, like, 5 super ruined it for me, because all the mechs were only, like, 3 stories tall, and meant to be, like, the this-is-an-everyday-thing kind of niche. Hated that. 0 out of 10.
Boo.
4 Answer, it's the tits. Anyway.
4 Answer, the tits. 5, not the tits.
Plus, like, man, actually, Dark Gundam Souls would also be an interesting game. But a very different
A mech out in the world by itself trying to make it through all these horrific new Zeon weapons.
Yeah, just progressively worse thing. I mean,
sitting next to campfires roasting other animal type mechs.
Smaller mech. Zoids?
Yeah.
Zoids? They're just a stick with a Zoid on it! Just the Gundam fucking pulling off the little mask and crunching down on a fucking Zoid.
That's so bad.
Oh,
I want mech survival game.
Mechs.
You gotta go out and hunt Zoids.
Hold on. Aren't we just describing Horizon Zero Dawn, but bigger?
Yes, except what? Yeah.
It's Horizon Zero Dawn, except Aloy
except
is
you are
huge.
Also a mech.
Anyway, we're hilarious. So,
I want this so bad.
Yeah, so I do too, actually. Caecilia mean mugs the back of Geralt's head so hard a hole begins being primed.
Only he doesn't notice.
This is a tool we'll see for later. that Mickey Mouse reaction image. Fuck, what does that make you... it's not important.
Yep.
Funky battle music starts. It's very tonally inappropriate. Wow, my train of thought just fucking cracked.
Mobile suit combat porn.
Yes. We get, like, a full minute of just fighting. Like, just randos fighting randos. Some of the shots are just shit exploding, some of them are actually, like, animated fight, and some of those shots are actually really good. Like, I remember there's this one where a GM gets, like, its head blown off and then pushed out of the way by a Zaku, which then gets blasted straight chest through by a ball, which then gets eviscerated by a Dom's cannon. It was a real neat, like, setup.
Yeah.
We get a few of those, right? Love that shit. That's the spice we come to Gundam for. That's the salt Tamura would be proud of. Speaking of, A meme I really want to start is every time Gundam has a cross promotion with any food company, just posting pictures of Tamura and being like, but is it seasoned well enough? Every time, just forever. Because that's just what's in my head every time I'm like, Gundam food. Tamura appears behind me. Like, do you have enough salt? The Japanese man in a chef's hat. Oh, my womo's behind me. Nothing personnel, kid. Cuts me in half.
A weird headcanon you have here, Fuzzy.
This is what it's like when I'm left alone. So...
I'm here.
I mean, I thought of that this separately on glimpse. My own. If you leave me isolated too long, it gets weird. that's why long car rides, I always, like, get out of the car. I mean, like, everyone after a long, like, road trip drive emerges from the car a fucking troglodyte, not a man.
Yeah. That explains my all existence, because that's all my life is.
Right.
So I'm just, like... If you're interacting with me on Twitter, it's odds are I'm in troglodyte mode that my brain is not functioning properly.
Yeah, like, it's... Because you're isolated and alone with, like, only the entertainment you have for yourself here, right? Yeah. That's the conceit, generally, of driving, unless you're a taxi, Uber, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh. Let me tell you. There's one guy I don't want to be alone with. It's me. So, you're not trapped in here with me.
I'm trapped in here with you.
Wait. Giren just watches this all and is like, man, my Zeon dudes are kicking ass, and just starts laughing to himself and saying that we are overwhelming them. Commercial.
Yeah! We have two new reviews.
Yes.
Which, with the Australian reviews, brings us halfway to our goal of 50 reviews.
Sick.
I'm gonna go with the first one here. It says, Best Episode Recap Podcast, 5 stars, from MCG Da Beast.
I assume this is just a big fan of famed television producer MCG. or it actually is MCG.
Who is Da Beast?
Who also goes by MCG Da Beast because, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with this joke. The only connection I have to those three letters in that order is that one fucking TV producer who I only know from Heroes and Lost, which... It's not J.J. Abrams, but apparently he really likes J.J. Abrams now that I'm thinking about it.
So...
Thank you, MCG Da Beast.
Yeah, thank you. They give a good review, but this is a constant thing of people like, I like them, even the tangents. You guys, like, the tangents is what this is, right?
I'm pretty sure it's because we rag on the tangents, too.
True, good.
Because our whole shtick is we're supposed to be a recap podcast. We're just so bad at it. But I guess people think we're entertaining, which is a very nice compliment. I don't get it, but it's a very nice thing to say.
Alright, you want to grab the second one?
Yeah, sure. The second one is from Spidey016, Gundam Fans Unite, 5 stars. P.S. Degwin Zombie has a monster dong. Thank you. Thank you for filling our review page with our meme, too.
Every time that shows up in the review, I'm like,
That's your legacy, Chris.
Yeah, I can't imagine what people who haven't... Like, people are like, okay, well, I'm sure these are... Like, let's just see what the reviews are like for this Gundam podcast. Like, why are half of these mentioning a giant dick?
Why are half of these about a monster dong? Well, you see, it's because we're fucking geniuses. This is your spoiler alert. A guy wondering, but for some listening to episode 42 of this podcast, it's because we're fucking geniuses at comedy.
We do have some chaws, but instead of that, you still had a couple of questions left over from your high sleuthing the other day.
Oh, high sleuthing?
Basically, you got Stone and asked the Discord for questions.
Yes, yes, I did do that. I did do that. One of them is the following that I actually pinged you in our group chat here right now.
Okay.
Go ahead and take a look. This is from Alolan Roy, and it's asking, "Hey, Chris, what do you think of this gunpla I made while listening to the podcast?" If one of us should remember to retweet this when this episode actually comes out. But, look at that for me, Chris, and tell me, who do you think pilots that suit?
I mean, that's Char, right? Like, I feel like I'm missing... It's a red Zaku.
It's a red Zaku with a command fin. Why wouldn't it be Char as Nable?
Right.
If I... Would you like to guess how many... How many in UC, not all of Gundam, not even all of UC, in the 1 year war, how many dudes in bright red suits do you think were running around?
It's just the one, right?
Nope!
Oh.
I'd like to present to you side story only character Johnny Ridden, aka actually the guy with the highest kill count, I believe, in UC Gundam.
Huh.
Like... Hold on, let me double check that with my loudest keyboard in the world. Is it Johnny Ridden is the... No, Johnny Ridden isn't the other one. He is known as the Crimson Lightning, because fuck you. Or the Red Blitz, because fuck you. Yeah. Yeah, there are... There's another one, too. Fun fact. There are multiple fucking... dudes in bright red suits who are ace pilots. Funnily, Johnny Ridden supposedly dies in the fight that we are currently in the middle of. Because he's in a regular ass Gelgoog, and so gets murked. He does get posthumously promoted, so that's nice.
Very good.
He did also at the end of his final battle, his kill count rests at 185. And apparently during this fight in Albaoqua, he kicked so much ass that in the middle of the fight, there was an order placed to all Fetties that said anyone who can shoot down that guy gets a full rank promotion.
Nice.
Not a stripe, not a star, full rank. So yeah, there are too many motherfuckers with bright red suits and blonde hair that just love kicking ass in the Gundam universe. I wish I was making this up for you. I wish this was a bit that I just thought of right now. No, this is all on Tomino. And only Tomino. No one else wrote for Gundam, as we all know.
As we all know,
only one man has ever written a Gundam story, and his name is Tomino. And I can't remember his actual given name either right now. So
it's just Tomino. It's like Cher. What? It is.
Is it? Is it really?
If Tomino has another name, I'm officially taking it away from him right now.
He does have a first name.
No, he just needs a mononym. All he needs is a mononym. It's Tomino.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Fuck with me and I'll shorten it to Tom.
Don't call him Tom.
What's up, Tom?
How's it going? Like that. I don't like that.
I don't either. I actually hate that. It made me feel bad to do.
I hate that too. No, just because it does not feel right.
Nope.
He's not my friend on MySpace. God, remember MySpace? I try not to. What happens if I go to MySpace.com right now? I'm very curious. Please join me as we go to what the fuck? It's up.
From what I understand, it's music-centered now, yeah.
Yeah, it's just what the oh, there's an article for The Masked Singer, which, if that's not the number one reason to just leave immediately, that's it. I don't know anything about that show, I just keep seeing ads for it, and I'm like, this is just The Voice, but with none of the charm, because it's not people we don't know about. It's famous people we already know about, but we don't know about them for a couple of minutes. Like, why is that a thing? I'm also just eating up Chia time now, so let's cut away from commercial.
Chia!
So we come back to Char over this legless Zong. We get a panning shot, so we do get to take it all in. If you haven't seen the Zong, that is spelled Z-E-O-N-G, not Z-O-N-G, Zeon, Zeon-G, essentially, and, I'm not gonna lie, I really like the way the Zong is looked, like,
I've
never understood why it was, it looks, this is actually my biggest complaint about the Zong. The whole, the legs are missing, so it's only 80% complete.
Yeah.
The guy talking to Char actually brings up a good point. The legs are mostly just for show on a mobile suit.
Yeah.
In fact, the Zong kind of exists in this weird middle area of, like, it's kind of a mobile suit, but it's also kind of a mobile armor.
Yeah. Also, I just looked up what it looks like with legs, and they literally just shove legs in two of those thrusters.
Yeah, it's not...
And it still gets the big booty.
She... Thick as shit, though.
Thick AF.
Yeah, and that, and the legs aren't, like...
No.
Super proportionate to how...
Nope.
how PHAT fat that ass is. Uh-uh. Like... Like, she got a butt that go on for days, but then legs that just kind of do the job, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
And that's
I do like
just not that satisfying.
I do like that it has, like, a Man in the Iron Mask face.
Yes, it's got... The Zong head is, like, one of my favorite things about it. It looks...
It's very good.
It looks real good. I do also like the hands. I like that it has full... I like that it got essentially an upgrade to the Goof's gun hands.
Yeah, gun fingers. Pew, gun, pew.
Yeah, a full, actually, like, dexterous gun hand now.
Yeah.
It is real neat. I'm a big fan of it. Man,
how do you how does it fire bullets if its fingers are curved at all? Like,
lasers. I guess
it doesn't. Oh. Right.
That's, also the only explanation I will ever have.
Lasers.
Why is Amuro able to, like, detect shit behind him?
Lasers.
What?
Lasers.
Also, funnily, when you Google Zong with legs, like, 1, 2, 3, 4 rows down, you actually get a clip, you get a comic version of, it doesn't have any legs. They're just for show anyway. The brass doesn't understand that. That's the actual line, and I love this mechanic. Like, scratch what we said.
Oh, yeah, I love him too.
Scratch what we said about the white base mech bay. I want to follow this guy. This guy from the time he enlisted to this moment in the 1 year war. What was his life that let him shake Char's Nabel's hand and go, legs are bullshit, dude? And then high five Char as he jumps off to go get in that fucking robot.
Yeah, I do like that like, at one, he says, what do you think, something about, like, he's like, you probably won't die, but I'm not gonna place any bets on it, or something like that, and Char looks at him and says, you're very blunt, I don't appreciate it.
This guy is the tits, I love him. This is my... I claim that one. That's my favorite. That's my favorite nameless side character in this show.
Yeah.
The guy who told Char to his face, you might die. I don't have enough information to make a good guess.
Oh, yeah. I think it was because he was like, I don't know if I'm a good enough new type. And he's like, I don't know if you're a good enough new type either, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, this guy is like, I barely understand this new type shit, and I mostly put a fucking Psycom system in this giant robot.
Yeah, look, dude, they totally put the Psycom move in there. The Psycom move's fucking in there.
It's in there. I'm not in your head. I'm not your magical space bullshit, but I heard you're pretty good at what you do. Nah, I give you decent odds, but I'm not gonna bullshit you.
I'll give you 80%. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Okay. That would've got me. That would've got me a lot. I'll give you about 80%. Fuck. Every time Char asks for anything, I vote we say he gets 80%. So, oh god, thank you so much, random dude.
So, I love him.
I love him. So
he's bae.
Char jumps in, lights up the Zong's eyeball. We get the boom. The Zong's is a little bit higher, I noticed, which is interesting. Whom. It's because it's about 20% higher. So,
3 times higher.
Fucking. So, fucking. No, because of who I am, you said 3 times higher, and I'm like, what if I painted a bong red? So,
of course you did.
So. Char in the fucking academy with Garma paints his bong red.
You would get 3 times higher.
You're gonna get 3 times higher with this, Garma. You ready? Garma pulls out a purple fucking lighter. It's shaped like an eggplant.
But it's real. Yeah, it's real fat.
Char spends 30 minutes going, what the fuck is this? Where did you get this? What are those? Another fucking up. Wait, hold on. What recording time? We're doing fine.
Are we?
Yeah. So, friend of the show Riley is having, I think, like an RPG game jam or something called the Record Collection. And one of the people, the whole shtick is you pick an album and make it a little RPG based on the album. I think. I don't actually know. I skipped
it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. So, that, one of the games that got made was Hamel-Ton, so it was Hamilton, but with mechs. Great idea on its own, but that made me start thinking of how would you rewrite Hamilton to be about 0079. I had some good thinks, but also it just made me really want to see like Char and Garma fucking around like idiots.
Yeah.
Been being like young and Char getting a little out of his own asshole on the revenge train and trying to like play Garma long term. I just see a lot of funny shit coming out of that because I don't care how revenge driven and edgy you are, Cassville. When you're a teenager, you're a fucking idiot who does funny things, and I want to see that. I want to see them with that space weed. I want to see someone walk in and Char and Garma just both go, what are you wearing? And just a 30-minute roast session. Like, I'm just imagining, like, the two of them young seeing Makuve wear some stupid shit being himself, and just just everyone, both of them going like, oh my god. Just longing for the day where they actually have enough power that they can just roast Makuve to his face. that's my headcanon, at least. So,
yeah.
One very long tangent later, because that war
shots.
Yeah. War shots, missiles, Zeon suits, Zong flies out of that fucking thing. I skipped a paragraph. Also, the song is nefarious first. Giren mugs the camera, assuming he's winning. Kaecilia notices an entire fleet just showed up on the flank. She thinks Giren is being a dumb shit, and she, feels up her gun. And just keeps looking at Giren.
It's very obvious!
Like, there's gotta be one guy who was turned around in that room who was about to ask Kaecilia a question and just was like...
Just, like, shut his fucking mouth.
Yeah, just like, I'm gonna keep this to myself. I don't remember what my question was. Oh, right, all these people are dying. Hey, Kaecilia! So, now we're to the war shots and the Zong flying out. Char... this episode does a lot to set us up for Zeta, honestly. So, Char starts wondering to himself if he really is a new type. He's not sure. Like, and this is really important, actually. Char, despite being the Red Comet, despite having taken out an entire, practically a chunk of fleet by himself in a bitch suit, still doubts that he is a new type. Yeah. All because one guy exists. One guy killed the woman he loved. One guy has thwarted him time and again. One fucking guy. And he doesn't even know what he looks like. He just knows what the fucking suit is.
Wait, he doesn't know, he still doesn't know that that's Amuro?
No.
Jeez.
Yeah, like, I'm not kidding. Strictly, he doesn't find out till the next episode.
Holy shit. So, but the thing is, that means that Lala just didn't fucking tell him, because Lala knows. Lala yep. knows that was the boy she met on where the fuck were they?
Well, keep in mind, Lala, first of all, to Lala, that was just a chance encounter. And also, she doesn't know about the full amount of how much the White Devil has been a pain in the ass for Zeon this whole time, right?
Right, so it'd be like, I just imagine when they had that connection.
She died in the same episode.
Right.
That's why. Like, yeah, right. They fully understood at that moment, but then she fucking died. And right. And in the whole time, we saw everything leading up to her dying. So yeah. There wasn't a moment where she was like, hey, Char, by the way, the guy in the White Devil, his name's Amuro,
we met him on the thing.
You met him before. He was that kid who we changed his tire, who was a Fetty guy. Remember that? That was him. That was a guy. No. She doesn't do that. We never see her do that.
It is fucking wild to me that he has no fucking idea.
Yeah. That's been the dramatic irony this whole time. And they've been working really hard to preserve that the whole time, too.
Like, imagine this from Char's perspective of just, like, imagine what Char thinks the pilot looks like.
To Char, he's gotta think that I believe Char did catch a glimpse at one stage, and yeah. was like, that's a kid.
Okay.
Like, that's a...
So that, he knows that much, at least.
Which was alone, like, a huge shock to him.
Yeah.
So, like, Char only knows that someone younger than him is kicking his ass. That's the only, and has consistently kicked his ass. Yeah. And more than that, that guy is definitely a new type.
Like, super new type.
And he knows he's a new type, because that's one thing Sayla did say. That the guy in the White Devil was a strong new type. As strong as her. Strong enough to make her doubt that she could beat him.
Yeah.
And she was magic. Like, actual magic.
Yeah.
This is one of the other ones where I'm like, keep this in mind, because this becomes foundational for Char the rest of his life. Straight up this theme.
So he does live, though. Let's see.
The movie's called Char's Counterattack, dumb motherfucker. It's not...
I was being a smartass, and it was bad, and I shouldn't try.
The movie exists. We know. We've seen the Wikipedia page.
My Castilia point. Orders Char to go flank, motherfuckers. Help the flanky.
Yeah. Char goes off that way. Giran disagrees. She keeps touching a gun.
Just fucking feeling up this rifle.
Yeah. Char leads this fleet of Rikdoms, Zakus, and even Gelgoogs, because they have normal edition Gelgoogs now.
Yep.
They come in green. It's lame.
Disgusting.
The skirts are cool purple and black and red. I'm real into that. Why didn't they go with that they're in space. Why would you paint it green?
I don't know. Well, the Zaku 2s in space were green.
That's still dumb as shit. You know what color space ain't?
Space is all colors, sir. How dare you? Oh. I think I've disappointed Fuzzy. think after all this.
Chris, I'm gonna put my headphones down and I'm gonna take several steps back, and then I'm gonna do a running drop kick so amazing I'm gonna fly the 300 miles betwixt us and crash through your podcasting closet like a glorious meteor, and both of my heels are going in your face.
It'll be a glorious death.
Good.
I'll go to Gundam Valhalla.
Just wake up. Wait, you're saying anything I build out of plastic is gonna be a cool-ass actual mobile suit? Sick!
Fucking dope. I wish I'd practiced while I was alive.
It's fine. You're in Gundam Valhalla. There's only time and mobile suits.
Time now.
So, also, you could buy Gundam Breaker 3 right now. Start practicing. So, don't buy new Gundam Breaker. It's bad. Gundam Breaker 3. This is also a PSA. Gundam Breaker 3, if you're in America, get the Singaporean version. You can import it. It'll work fine on your PS4. You won't be able to get the DLC. What you do is go online, you fight other people who have the DLC, take their parts. Don't get new Gundam Breaker. It's slow and bad. The customization options are worse. Everything about new Gundam Breaker is a worse game. However, that one came out officially in America. It's bad, don't actually get it. Buy Gundam Breaker 3, not new Gundam Breaker. This has been a
PSA.
Does
it have an English option?
Yeah, it's Singaporean.
Okay.
This is not common knowledge. Singapore speaks English because it's port city.
Sorry. Yeah. I knew people in Singapore spoke English.
It's the official language.
It is the official language. Yes. Okay, I did not know that part.
Yeah. Singapore has the official language of English. It's just like, they also, pretty much every sign is also in Bahasa Malaysia, sometimes Bahasa Indonesia, is that the right word? I think. Chinese, and sometimes Filipino, or whatever that language is. I don't actually know offhand. Because I don't speak any of those. So, I just know they exist, and are on all the signs. So, Brain. Oh, yeah. So, Char leads all these Rikdoms and Zakus. He manages to just full both hands, all 10 fingers, take out a Magellan. He fingers a Magellan.
These ships have become... God damn it. All right, there goes my...
You had a train of thought, and then Char fingered it.
Char fingered it, and it blew up like a Magellan.
You have no idea how much fun I'm going to have with shining and burning finger in few years. You're gonna hate me, but I'm gonna have fun.
It's fine.
Did you have an actual thought?
Yeah, it's just that these ships have become paper. Just fodder at this point. Yeah. Which is a little frustrating. I wish the battleships were a little more of a worry, I guess.
I do ask you to keep in mind of who takes out the battleships, right?
Yeah.
Because for the most part, it's been the Elmeth, Amuro, Sela got one, Slegger got one, but it was in the G armor, which we know is a big old upgrade. And then Char, and I think Ramba got one on screen too.
Yeah.
Like, that's who's taking out ships, right? Like, that's the class above.
I think it's just because Amuro's taking out so fucking many of them.
To be fair, we're gonna see Amuro in a second. So, Char takes out this Magellan with all of his fingers, which causes, like, the bridge of that one flies into another one, which explodes, and then shrapnel hits everyone, including White Base. Char is deep in that mix, but can't find Amuro until he gets a little bit of a new type feeling. Which, good storytelling. This confirms for you and I, for certain, Char is not just good, he is psychic. Yeah. Just a little bit.
But more importantly, we cut to Amuro.
He is dual-wielding bazookas. He rolls out, bazooka in each hand, shield on one arm, the beam rifle tucked into the waistband, two bazookas. And he jumps out and mercs. It is like... We thought Char was hot shit with all 10 fingers.
Amo does not need 10 guns. He needs 3, and 2 of them are bazookas.
I just love the. It's just it's like. Okay.
Cool as shit!
Alright, here's your bazooka. Okay, give me another one. Another what?
What?
Another bazooka. What?
What? You want another bazooka?
What, like for a backup? No, just put it in this hand.
It's the final fight. Give me the second bazooka. Hey, you got me.
Fine, Jesus.
My name is Job John, and you got me.
My name is Job John gives away 2 bazookas. Here
my
you
name,
go.
My name is Job. I no longer have a bazooka John. Here you go. This was my bazooka. I'm giving you it. Why did you have a Gundam bazooka? I like to hold it. I sleep on the inside of the tube.
I'm here. This is my bed. Have fun. This is my bedroom. Try not to break all my pictures.
Inside of the bazooka has such a family pictures. A poster.
Just get fired out with the first grenade. What was all that shrapnel? Just Job wipes tears.
Just another Zaku that was standing next to the one that just died. All of a sudden a poster hits it in the head. Like, huh. Why do I have a bikini babe in my viewfinder right now?
Who signed this?
Who signed this? That's not the signature of this bikini. Oh, God! And then he dies, because then the other bazooka hits him, because Amuro has 2!
Surprise, motherfucker!
So, Amuro's murking dudes, wonders where Char is, and notices the Zong, and he's like, man, that guy's too psychic to be Char. Burn, first of all. Second of all, we know the Psycom multiplies your shit. Handy information.
They strap Amuro in one and the world implodes?
Buddy. Just you wait for CCA. So
I'm going to write this down. Remember in 7 years.
Remember in 8. Well, theoretically, CCA comes after Double Zeta, so theoretically 2.
Okay.
Well, 3. 2 if we go to weekly. So, he dismisses it either way and goes, I have a goal, I need to land on Albawaqua.
Yep.
I don't know if we had a similar thing with Solomon where the real win condition for this first part of the fight is just get a dude on the base. Yep. Because then it's a land war, not a space war.
Yeah. Then they have to turn their attentions inward and we can get more people there.
Yep. Because one rampant mobile suit inside a building full of dudes is a good way to end up with a lot of soup.
Get some attention.
Yeah. That's a way to end up with some well-cooked human soup.
Yep.
And rubble. So, suddenly...
That's for fiber.
We cut up to Girin, who is mugging, and Kaecilia is behind Girin.
Yep.
And she just asks him, why'd you fire the gun knowing that Dad was there? And he goes, because he was being a fool and a traitor to the cause. Doing this ill-timed peace agreement would have merely put us in a terrible situation. This is, of course, in real life, echoing all of the feelings against surrender from Hitler in World War II, but also remembering the imaginary Treaty of Versailles that doesn't exist in this universe, yet Girin is nonetheless worried about it.
Yeah.
Because we have historical precedent for the country that starts the war, if they don't win, usually gets a real short end of the stick.
Yeah.
Which, fair.
So,
she calls him naive and blows his fucking brains out.
Which is a very chill thing to call someone before you fucking execute them.
Yeah, she calls Girin so naive and then pulls the laser gun trigger. Girin is rocketed out of his seat, laser gun straight through the middle of the head, and he just...
Yeah.
I remind you, Albalquia is in space, and they don't actually have good gravity generators. So, free of the ground and his magnetic boots, he gently drifts towards the view screen and lightly bounces off the wall.
Yeah. Yeah, so we get a cool scene. It just cuts to like, out in the command area, and his fucking corpse just floats through the goddamn air. Mm. Everybody looks up at it like, Garen?
Is that my boss?
Oh, shit. What the fuck is going on?
So, I really like this part, because it is... I mean, A, there is the personal satisfaction. We get to watch Hitler die, right?
It's also fucking savage.
It is also, like, devastatingly savage.
Like, she just does it.
Yeah.
She doesn't give him a fucking speech. She doesn't, like, give him last words. Until he dies, he thinks he's hot shit.
Yep.
He like, there was never a moment where he's like, oh no, this might be the end of me. He was like, meh, dead.
Bang.
Just fucking dead. And then she did it in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And let them see it. And then steps out there and says, he's a fucking piece of shit traitor. I'm in charge now. If you have a fucking problem with it, talk to me after we win this fucking war.
In the Japanese, her specific lines are, even in a time of war, we cannot let the supreme commander get away with patricide and regicide.
That's what she said in English, too.
Yeah. She only says patricide. It's also regicide. Can't get away with letting him have patricide. If any of you have a problem with it, file charges after the war. We have something to do. And she sits the fuck down. Before adding, get rid of the body.
Yeah. The body.
The body.
She's just... Ah, I fucking love this woman.
Yeah, right? So, honestly, my favorite part about this is the shot right after of just this corpse bouncing off the wall. Because... Yeah. For me, I register two things out of that. One, doesn't matter how hot a shit you were.
Yes.
You are a corpse bouncing off the view screen now.
Yeah. I like just how insignificant it is. How little... Like, that's humiliating. He would be humiliated.
Yeah.
Knowing his corpse is just flopping around in zero G.
The other thing I like about that is specifically what it says of the philosophy that was executed in front of everyone by its sister.
Yeah.
I'm just a big fan of also of doing that to Hitler, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is no mistaking... Hitler doesn't get to take himself out this time.
Nope.
He gets taken out, and he is nothing afterwards. Yep. He was a problem. No longer matters. My other favorite part about this is, in a second, Mirai and Bright do have a little conversation, but then Bright goes, hey Mirai, did you notice there was, like, a second there where all of their defenses lapsed? And Mirai was like, yeah, I did. What was that? And both of them don't know. This is, of course, dramatic irony.
The second giant shift of power that happened in this fight.
Yeah, but also, Garen's death amounted to 10 seconds.
If that.
What a bitch. So...
so good.
So Garen gets taken out like the punk bitch he is, and it's very satisfying for everyone.
I just love that he didn't fucking see it coming.
No. Didn't see it coming at all.
And it was so, if he had like thought for 1 second he could be killed, he would be like, oh fuck, Cassilia is about to kill him.
Now, this also, to me registers something interesting of Garma knew he was gonna die. Dozel knew he was gonna die.
Yeah.
Degwin only had maybe 3 extra seconds, but he knew he was gonna die. Garen did not know he was gonna die.
Nope.
We will see about Caecilia later. We will see how that goes. Not this episode. We have an entire episode left.
Yeah.
So, we take a moment to, you know, let our shirts breathe and enjoy it. We all kind of just really get some deep satisfaction at this stage in our lives with the climate we're in and all this to watch Hitler get shot in the fucking head and absolutely go down. It's very nice. And after we take this breather, we cut over to Amuro. Oh, no, shit, I'm skipping a whole bunch of shit in my paragraphs. Also, Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm just checking. Yeah, I was just checking. Because sometimes when it gets quiet, I get worried.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
It's cool. So, an entire, literally, the guys who were holding the front line, that 10 seconds was enough for all of them to die. Yeah. On the Zeon side.
Yep.
The whole front fleet
gets... It's not going well.
Yeah, no. They lose a firewall. It's bad. Kaecilia takes it in stride, keeps it going. Orders more mobile suits to the front line. Because the flank is doing fine. Aobao Quad does get hit by some big old missiles. And then GMs almost start making landfall. There's Zakus and Gelgoogs and Skirts trying their darndest to keep them away. But now we get the rest of our white base crew's little time to shine.
Yep.
Kai and Hayato get just a murder dude scene here. Well, Kai, Hayato, and Sayla all get to just murder dudes on screen now. It's pretty tasty. Hayato, in particular, gets to barrage a fuckload of Zakus with the gun tank. It's real good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, he stepped his game up now that he's got Frog looking at him.
Yeah, he got a little kiss on the cheek and was like, "Go time, motherfuckers! I'm killing everything!" And he
I'm short, horny, and got something to prove.
I'm 16, horny, and got something to prove. A lot of people are dying today.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on, I had a Nerf gun here. Ah, it's too late. Oh, here we go. I'm horny, I'm young, there's a girl to impress, and I have a war machine. Let's do this.
I appreciate you.
Anyway.
Did you just fire it?
Yeah. It was empty for the record. It's bad to let the pro tip, don't leave your Nerf guns primed, it ruins the spring. Make sure to fire them after you prime them for a joke. It's okay to dry fire them, just, you know, be careful.
Dry fire. Just sounds uncomfortable.
Chris, I am way too deep into my knowledge of Nerf guns, and I collect hobbies the way your mother collects weird porcelain dolls. I don't know if your Chuck mother does, but you know what I mean.
No, mine did. Oh, I thought this was, I told you the
I did,
story.
Oh, anyways. Did you tell us the story?
I don't know. My mom, my parents didn't clean our house. It was constantly just disgusting as a child. But my mom would constantly collect, like, shitty porcelain tchotchkes.
This, 100% you've never told me this, and I'm glad that my random joke actually hit the mark. Because that was from the hip.
So they would just collect bug shit and spider webs. Just constantly. And when my parents would make me clean the house, I would fucking throw them away because they're covered in bug shit. And my mom would get so pissed at me. I'm like, don't fuck. You clean the goddamn house, then. You clean the fucking house if you don't mean to throw away your garbage bug shit factories.
Your garbage bug shit factories. Yeah, no, that's a fair reason to throw away a bunch of shit.
I'm the same way. If Mary leaves leftovers in the fridge too long, I'll just throw away the Tupperware they're in. I'm gonna fuck.
That's a little excessive.
Nope. Fuck it. I'm not fucking cleaning it. It's all moldy and gross.
It takes like hot water makes it go away.
Nope.
Just not normal worth it. Hot water.
Just fuck it. Nope.
Chris, you were putting plastic waste in the landfills. At least rinse it out and throw it in the recycling. For the planet, Chris.
Alright, fine. For the planet. God damn it.
You can throw it out, just rinse it out first. But then at that stage, just clean it. But look. Anyway, I've cleaned a lot of moldy Tupperware. It's not that bad when you get used to it. You shouldn't have to get used to it. So, Sayla also gets a couple of cool shots, but then Bright orders her to come back closer to White Base. She gets a couple of more to death on her way back. This is the point where Bright and Mirai notice the lapse in defenses. Meanwhile, Amuro is using those two bazookas.
Just bazooking it up out there.
Yeah, a lot of things are dying. He eventually runs out of bazooka ammo. He switches to the backup gun. Just normal gun. Frankly, I would have actually been real into, like, the 90s Punisher, Gundam, where he just, like, straps GM pistols to his body, too. Just like, he's ready. That'd just be very funny. Oh man, how come no Gundam has, like, a leather holster on the side?
It's just like a fucking gunslinger Gundam.
They actually have the start of, so, Tequila Gundam from G Gundam got a Build Fighters version that doesn't have a fucking kit yet, and literally everyone on God's Earth is like, I want to build that. Sunrise, I will pay you for that. Please make us a Tequila Gundam kit. Any! Either the custom or the new. Where did he get a Tequila Gundam kit? The fuck? Because there isn't a Tequila Gundam kit. Also, Neo Mexico's mobile suit is called Tequila Gundam, for the record. Mobile Fighter G Gundam's gonna be a little awkward, because it's pretty casually racist.
Oh.
So, Neo Mexico is a sombrero in space.
Yeah.
So, Amuro shows the world why he's the white demon and not the kind that thinks it's cool for a sombrero to be in space, because that was a Japanese guy who did that one. But that does sound like the kind of shit America would pull in the 90s, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Char is hunting Amuro. Like, he is hunting the Gundam. Doesn't matter. He is for the gun. Like, he's taking out dudes on the way. They don't matter. He's trying to find the Gundam. Like, GMs, gunmen, and balls are dying wholesale. Caecilia notices that the enemy has almost broken through, but she's confident that Char will save the day. Of course, Char is having a mental fucking breakdown and chasing, like, a mad dog after the guy who killed his chief.
We keep cutting to him, and he's just gritting his teeth in silence, trying to pilot this fucking thing after Amuro.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool, actually. I like that Char is being shown to, like, this is what he looks like when he loses his cool. It's quiet and very angry.
Yeah, and it's also, like, this is his first time flexing this muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's still, like, even in this fight, not 100% sure he's psychic.
Yeah. Something we, the audience, I remind you, we've had it proved to us.
Yeah.
We have no doubt. It's all in Char's head. Which, like, right now he's the villain, right? So,
right.
You're supposed to not empathize too much with him, but you can't help but, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's got imposter syndrome in the narrative.
Yeah.
Really interesting, and it's also kind of neat to see this in something from 1979. Like, that'd be something that today I'd be pleasantly surprised about, you know?
Yeah. A lot of good stuff in this anime.
A lot of not great stuff, too, Slegerlaw.
Well,
God
damn it. Why?
You take the good with the bad, right? Like,
no, we were...
Right, we were having fun, but, like,
you
actual moment here...
I thought you were my friend.
We are, which is why I'm taking a moment to be like, yeah, it's an old show, and, like, you can't let it get away with it.
No.
But we can't go back and fix it now.
No.
Don't let things get away with it.
No.
Be aware you're not gonna fix it.
Yeah.
But you will make the creator make something better this time.
Yeah.
Soapbox to the side. At least that's my consistent theme. Also, shout out to the one character name that I will give a shout out to for this episode. The second in command of Al Balakwa is named Twanning. And he's a chill dude. He's got a chill mustache. And so Amuro shows the world why he's hot shit. Char's trying to find him. Amuro manages to land. But Char notices him and just is like fucking beelining it. And we cut up to Caecilia. Caecilia is talking to Twanning, and Twanning has multiple times shown up this episode. First he was taking orders from Girin, then Girin fucking dies, and she's like, fucking, y'all got a problem? And Twanning's like, everyone get back to your fucking stations, we have a war to win. And she's like, thank you, Twanning. I imagine in her head going, that guy gets promoted.
That guy doesn't die today. Well, maybe. Not by my hands.
Yeah, not my by hands. He may get the firing squad for witnessing me do a familicide, but, you know.
Yeah.
Caecilia seems like the leave no witnesses type.
This is where she's like, why are all of our fucking mobile suits dying? And he's like, they're all fucking trainees.
They're all greenhorns, every single one. And she's like, all
from,
what?
Yeah, they're all from the fucking school.
Like, and he Twanning adds, now don't, like, they did finish their training, but, like, they just graduated.
I just, how much does that suck? We also cut to one a little later. Like
mom,
we see
and he dies.
Yes! Oh my god, he calls out for his mom when he's dying, and it's fucking, it's 2 seconds and it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Because it's literally right after we learn that all of these dudes are kids in suits. Yeah. So, like, for reference, for the first probably time in this whole war, Amuro is fighting dudes who were like him.
Yep. They're not lucky as him. They're and not don't have top-of-the-line mobile suits and also are psychic.
Yeah.
And have plot armor.
Yeah.
And he does not have pity on them.
Mm-mm.
He just...
So this guy screams. So yeah, this guy screams for his mother as he's wholesale just murked. Amuro begins catching on that he engages Char. They start shooting at each other a little bit. They keep dodging, and all of a sudden the music cuts, and they go blow past each other, and just have that moment of being like, you know, half a mile away from each other in space, just looking. And they start rushing at each other, and then time stops. Screen goes red.
Time stands still.
Two men will enter. One will leave. What do we have anything to say before I get into that?
Nope.
Okay, well, my only addition, this is a good fucking episode. Like, yeah, I know it's like leading into the finale and it's all that setup, so of course it's quality and the budget's here and all this shit. There's some real strong choices in this episode as far as narrative goes.
Yeah.
And it's real interesting. Like,
I going into this, I had no idea how Girin... I didn't think Girin would bite it this episode.
Right.
I 100% thought Caecilia would go before Girin, because Girin's like...
Space Hitler.
The Hitler. Yeah. I didn't expect that. When it happened, I was like, fucking, what?
Yeah,
yes!
Right?
Good. and just, anyways, yeah, it's one probably one of my favorite moments in this entire series is that cut to the command area, and then like off screen comes in a fucking corpse.
Yep.
It's such a good moment.
It really is. And as mentioned, resonates very well at the moment.
Yeah.
Like this one, you know, 2019.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, so time stops, everything goes red because next time it's the finale. The cosmic glow begins to fade as the war ends, but the true battle begins as revenge lights this comet aflame. This is not the fight of the Federation versus Zeon. This is the fight between two men. With swords at one point, because holy
actual
shit!
Swords.
Actual swords, that's not a joke. 100%.
And jetpacks!
And jetpacks! Sword!
They're rocketeers!
Yeah! Next time on Mobile Suit Fandom, the finale of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Escape. Will you be able to survive?
Amuro.
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 42 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod and our personal Twitters from there. You can also email us at MobileSuitFandom@gmail.com. Also, if you are new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They have a bunch of shows legally for free. Also, just as a reminder, as we are ending this series, if you would like to send us questions about 0079 as a whole, feel free to tag them as something like end of show, something for 0079 as we wave it off. We'll answer those questions in the movie episode, and to kind of give this collective thought on the first Gundam series as a whole. Until next time, mech fans, remember, one deep psychic conversation is not the basis for a long-term romantic relationship. Char and Amuro.